Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to...
You just tuned into Blog Talk Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, wealthiest, and most jubilant sister in the world. That's right, my name is Minister Cherie Humphrey, and I am the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and the producer of A Star is Born Talent Events and Talk to Me Media. I want to thank you for supporting and tuning back in. This is our ninth season, and I've done over 160 episodes, reaching over 10,000 people, probably more than that. Just take a guesstimate and a roundabout figure. But I just want to thank people who supported, who've told somebody about this show, who sent this link out to your friends or your family or somebody you think that may benefit from hearing the show. I want to thank you because you're making it possible. And I want to thank the Lord because nobody making it more possible than Jesus Christ himself. So I want to give him his props and his shout out because he is the one orchestrating this. I had no idea when I first started doing this with the encouragement of my friends, Coco Melvin, God rest her soul, and Elder Ernest Richards and Savanda of Channel 5 in Hartford, that it would even last this long and that I would even like it. And so I love it, and I do this show by the grace of God, and I push myself, no matter what my personal circumstance is, to go forth and to give you something enlightening, encouraging, educational, inspiring, or just to hear some good music. And so I did not come on last month because for the most part of July, I was sick with bronchitis and an ear infection. So I had to postpone the show. But good things come to those who wait. The topic for tonight is standing up for your rights. And so there comes a point in time in life that we have to stand up for ourselves. And more prevalent as we get older. And so we have to learn how to teach the younger ones how to properly and positively stand up for themselves. But there's nothing wrong in standing up for yourself and standing up for your rights or for the rights of others. And great change has taken place in this country and abroad for people who were brave enough, who had the courage enough, who against all odds, stood up for what they believed in. And sometimes you're going to have the enemy come at you with all different directions when you're doing something out of the ordinary, or when you're stepping out the box, or when you're the one that's, heading something up and trying to do something different, or just speaking out on behalf of what is correct and what is right. And so I want to encourage people to continue to be brave and do that. I know it's not easy. I mean, I've had my own struggles when it comes to that, depending on what the situation is. And so you just got to muster up the strength that God has given you within when you see something that's not right, you know, and use wisdom in approaching that situation or standing up for in that situation. But by any means, stand up for what you believe is right. And so I do want to bring you some scriptures, because I cannot start off this show without giving the scripture base. And so we're going to start off in Proverbs. And we're going to talk a little bit about what justice is, and what standing up for your rights is when it concerns the Bible. And so once I get myself together and find this, what I want to share with you all, Proverbs 21:15 says, "When justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers." Anytime you're standing up for what is good and what is right and what is just, you're going to have that person or people that are going to be hating on you, hate the fact that you are saying something that is good and that they know is right. When they're in the wrong, they don't want people to stand up. They don't want people to speak out because of the shame, and they know what they're doing is ill and is not right. So, of course, you're going to have that. Proverbs 24:24-25 says, "Whoever says to the guilty, 'You are innocent,' will be cursed by the peoples and denounced by nations. But it will go well with those who convict the guilty, and rich blessings will come on them." Proverbs 28:5, "Evildoers do not understand what is right, but those who seek the Lord understand it fully." Well, you know, when you're little and you're growing up, you know, every household is different. People come from all different nations, backgrounds, and so their upbringing may be different from what you or I may be used to, but it doesn't make it wrong. But when you see someone that is being harmed or emotionally abused, physically abused, when basic needs and necessities are being withheld, neglect is occurring, things of that nature, you know that what is happening is not right. And so people who are in a situation like that for so long, they've become conditioned to being abused or abusive or enduring that type of behavior. And it is not right. That is not normal. That is not how things are supposed to be. So if you know better and you see someone going through that, you know, and try to encourage them and speak to them in a nice way, you know, letting them know a better way that can be done, or a better way that they can live. And like I said, you got to use wisdom in everything, because you don't know what someone's enduring in their home. You don't know how somebody's enduring something on their job. You don't know those type of things because you're not there. But pray on it. You know, get to know the person, talk to them little by little, whatever you need to do. If you're that brave person, if you're the one who has the most courage to stand up and say something on behalf of somebody else. Ecclesiastes 3:17 said, "I say to myself, God will bring into judgment both the righteous and the wicked. For there will be a time for every activity, a time to judge every deed." And God is going to be that ultimate judge. And so when we're teaching kids in daycare, and we're teaching them in preschool and kindergarten, we're teaching them manners. We're teaching them etiquette. We're supposed to be anyway. We're teaching them right from wrong. We're teaching them how to comprehend what that means. And so, you know, But like I said, everybody has different cultures, and America is very diverse. So you may not understand why one person does things a different way than what you do, but it doesn't mean that you should judge them for that. If you know a better way, teach them. Educate somebody on how things are supposed to be. If you see something, if you're going to be the whistleblower, be the whistleblower. But I tell you, yes, there's going to be consequences behind that, but you need to stand up for what is right. Hebrews 10:30, for we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. I'm going to say that again. And again, the Lord will judge his people. Hosea 12:6, but you must return to your God, maintain love and justice, and wait for your God always. God is a God of justice. You know what I'm saying? He's a God of love. He's not a God of abuse and hatred. He's not a God of beating people down, making them feel worthless. You know, when basic needs can't be provided, there's nowhere in the Bible where it tells you to be a doormat. There's nowhere in the Bible where it tells people to walk all over you. I don't know where people get this idea that just because you're a Christian or you're walking in a certain way that you're supposed to allow people to dog you out. That is not of God. And if somebody can call me up and tell me what scripture it tells them to do that, then call me up and tell me that. But until then, I believe that God is a God of love, peace, and joy and harmony. And anytime somebody is coming against your person, your mind, your emotions, you know, messing with you psychologically or otherwise, that is not right, period. So I'm going to go into my first guest. I do want you to know to buy my books. I'll give you the information later on in the show. I don't want to keep her on hold for too long. But, sweetheart, just hold on for about another minute. I do want to play a little bit of this old cut by Bob Marley, Get Up, Stand Up.
This is Stand Up and Talk for my rights. I know what that is. See? And I don't care who the guy is. Because my right is my right.
If you don't know that song, you're not from the old school, go look it up on YouTube or iTunes or something like that. I do want to plug my next caller in, which is Mary Brill of Westport. She's a personal friend of mine that I just met on this year, and she's going to shed some light on some things that are pressing on her heart.
Cherie?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, baby. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm scratching my head. I'm trying to figure out who wouldn't know Bob Marley. That's really disturbing.
some young buck or some young girl out there might not know.
children, come to mama. We'll play you some good music. You sound good, honey.
Oh my goodness.
Cool to be on your radio show. Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you on. This is long. We've been talking about this for almost 2 months, right?
I think so, yeah. Been a while, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So, Mary, just give us a little bit about who you are. You know, tell us a little bit about yourself, something you like to share with whoever is listening out there.
Oh, you know, I'm your average run-of-the-mill kind of, I would say, a sweet person. I'm in my 50s. And I'm a pretty peace-loving person, but, you know how your show is Stand Up for Your Rights? I really had a baptism, I would say, in the last maybe a year or so that I had become homeless. And I went into a shelter for almost a year. And I just saw so many abuses of people's dignity and rights and so forth that I became less of a peace-loving person and I would say more of a warrior. And I think I'm just quicker about putting my foot down. My foot down and not allowing this anymore. It's weird because I'm always good at sticking up for the other guy than I am myself, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
But I think that just over time and enough abuse, you develop a voice, and I think I got to meet myself all over again. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
That's my story.
Absolutely. That's it in a nutshell. You know, sometimes when you're pushed to the limit, you know, because everybody have their own tolerance level. And when you got people in a shelter coming from all different directions, you know, good, bad, and very, very ugly, you know, it can put you in that mindset, you know, and somebody has to say something. So tell me a little bit more about, you know, what you experienced and what caused you to speak out the way you have been speaking out.
Well, you know, a shelter is supposed to be a safe respite from a dangerous or difficult situation. That's really why I ended up there. I needed a safe respite from, you know, dangerous situation. And what I found was psychological. All right, you know, they lied. There was constant lies going on. If I said it was up, they would say it was down. If I said I was sick and brought a doctor's note, they would say, no, you're not. Go back onto the street until you're allowed to come back in at 8:30 at night. I remember being so sick, staying at a, you know, kind of like, not lakefront, but waterfront during the day, that I could barely move. And I remember a man with an English accent stood over me while I was laying in the grass, just violently sick, because they wouldn't let me back in the shelter until curfew. And I remember opening my eyes, and there was all this light coming from behind his head. I guess he was standing in front of the sun. And he was so kind to me that I started to cry, and I think I probably looked like a maniac. Which I wasn't. I was just so sick.
Right.
Anyway, you kept hearing different things from different people that work there, different staff members. Yes, you know, you're allowed, if you're sick, to stay here, just bring a doctor's note. But then when you would bring it, they would say, no, you're not. That's not the rule. I'm not explaining this well at all, Cherie, because I to get emotional about it. I still get upset.
Yes, take your time. Take your time. And I know when you go through traumatic situations, you don't even want to relive them, let alone sometimes tell the story. But this just a snippet of your life, of what you might have endured, may relate to someone else out there and may give them a little glimpse of hope.
Yeah, well, I would imagine there probably are people out there that are listening that may be in a difficult situation. And I really think that you were talking about bravery. I think ultimately that's the most important thing, to stay true to yourself, especially when people are playing psychological games, not honoring you with the truth, dishonoring you with half-truths and lies. things like, I remember I was at the shelter one time. I had just gotten there. I didn't have any clothes except what I was wearing, pretty much. And there was tons of donations coming in every single day. This is the Open Doors Shelter in Norwalk, Connecticut. And literally vans would pull up to the shelter every day, cartons and containers of clothing and donations would come in, but it was never dispersed to those of us who lived there. Never. And
wow, where do you think it was going?
Well, I witnessed myself. I poked my head out of the bedroom door one night, which I'm not allowed to do, and I saw three staff members trying on the clothing and talking about, you know, oh, you look good in this, will you try this one, that sort of thing. It was a regular thing. I remember that, you know, some staff members were wonderful, and I remember particularly a young woman who doesn't work there anymore, said to all the women in our room, yeah, it is true. The staff is stealing it. I see it myself, and there's really nothing I can do about it. All of this was, you know, reported, and all of this was denied over time. And I still needed clothes.
Do you feel that because, you know, when a person is in a homeless situation, there's already a stigma attached to that, you know, and you hear all kinds of stories from people, you know, just for me, when I was homeless, sleeping in my car 2 years ago and out there praying with people in the parking lots and different places and stuff like that, they didn't even believe I was homeless, you know, and, you know, because I made sure I was not going to, even if I was homeless, I was not going to look like I was homeless, and I was going to continue to be me, enjoy myself as much as I possibly could. But when you find yourself in that situation as a homeless person, you see injustices going around. Do you feel that if you speak up, there's going to be retaliation?
That was the name of the game there. It was incredibly dangerous to speak up, or certainly to report anything. I saw so many people that were discharged during my little less than a year at that shelter simply because they said something to the wrong person, or just in some way the staff saw them as a threat. A threat to what? I don't know. A threat to the fact that they're stealing?
Take your time.
Lying. Yeah. All of it. Anyway, the day came that it became too much. I needed clothing. My caseworker told me to go to Goodwill. She actually told me to go to the store and buy clothes, and I didn't have money. Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah. So it just everything became too much. So I started speaking to other people in the shelter, and we started to get a little game plan together. And I was in a position to meet a wonderful, wonderful young woman from a newspaper called the Norwalk Hour. And I told her my story, and she actually listened and cared. And this was the first time that I had met anyone outside of the shelter that actually cared. And she asked me to tell my story, and then she started to listen to the other stories of people
right.
that were there. And probably over the course of, I'm thinking maybe 4 to 5 months, she gathered the stories until finally there was a front page headline in the Norwalk Hour that exposed the fact that the shelter was under state investigation for all kinds of malfeasance.
Now, in your stay, you know, you have other people there. Do you think that there was any favoritism going on as to who was allowed to receive certain necessities or things of that nature? Did you see that taken place, or was it just standard for everyone to have to go to Goodwill? Or was it just you that was told to go to Goodwill?
Ah, that's a good question. No, there was no favoritism. There was no standard. No one in the shelter was allowed to look through any of the donations, nor were they allowed to take any of the donations at all, ever. And the story was that these clothing items and, you know, just stuff were taken to a storage facility. And it went on for about a year, and the storage facility supposedly was going to be turned into a store for the shelter that would be open to the community. Took a year to do that. To make a long story short, we still saw people stealing, and even though it was denied by the people that worked there, I mean, basically the hierarchy staff, the ones with the power, they denied it, except that it isn't true, because the other staff members will tell you that it's entirely true. The sad thing for me, Cherie, was newspaper article came out, but it didn't have enough teeth, as far as I was concerned. So it didn't bite as hard as it needed to bite. And although there was a certain change in the demeanor of some of the staff members in the first few weeks after that newspaper article coming out, there was no change whatsoever in policy. And it was a shame. And I think that I started to feel extremely sad and very demeaned. And I don't think maybe you can feel demeaned unless you give your permission to feel demeaned. But I think I was just really sad and breaking at that point. It was just, it's a terrible thing to be homeless. It's terrible. It's exhausting. And to not have family to talk to and to not have outside friends to talk to. I mean, your life really is people that you are surrounded with at the shelter. Here, guide me. I've lost track because I got emotional again. Hello? 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 Cherie? Cherie?
Made the best decision of my life when I said goodbye.
I just want to thank everybody for tuning back in. This is Talk to Me Radio, hosted by Minister Cherie Humphrey. I am your host. Sorry for the technical difficulties. I don't know what the heck is going on, but we are going to hear Mary's story. First, her line dropped and mine dropped. So I'm going to click her back in. She is talking to us, calling in from Westport. Hello.
Hey, Cherie. Hi, baby.
Hey. How you doing?
I'm wondering.
Yes.
I didn't know we were cut off. I went
on and on. Oh, my goodness. Yes. I'm like,
sorry.
What is going on? Because you was like, Cherie. But anyway,
oh, you
we got
hear
you
that.
Back.
Oh.
Yeah, I could definitely hear that. And then my line dropped, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, we were talking about what you were dealing with when you were dealing with homelessness and some of the things that you endured over the past year, which is very unfortunate. But I know if you endured it, there are others out there that are going through the same thing. If not there, some other places that may be having the same type of issues. And I feel that if you're in the place and you're in a situation, you're coming out that's dangerous, there should definitely be some precautions. There should definitely be some type of rules or policies implemented to help protect those who've come out of that if they're unable to go into a safe house. And so definitely, of course, there should be no favoritism going on. Definitely should be no stealing of donations, is what you're telling me. Definitely, if you're in need and there's donations there, you know, you should be receiving some type of clothing when you were there. And, you know, I want to know exactly what happened. You know, did you just up and walk away? Did you get a place? Did they help you? Did they retaliate because you stood up for yourself? What took place really quickly, because I have another caller calling in.
Yeah, okay. Really quickly, I stood up for myself. I'm no longer in the shelter, and I do have my own really charming apartment, which I'm very happy with.
Yes, I'm proud of you.
But thanks. Oh,
yes.
It's nice, yeah. But, what happened was it just got worse, and they started doing construction inside the shelter, which involved the demolition of the bathrooms and the laundry room. And the demolition caused a very, very, very powdery dust to be suspended in the air and all over the floors. And we were breathing these things in. I found it impossible to breathe. I needed to sleep in my car. I would check into the shelter for my curfew, sign in, and then go back out to my car to sleep because I could not sleep inside. This was the summertime, by the way. It was too hot to be sleeping outside in your car, but that's what I had to do because I couldn't breathe. Everyone in my room was wearing face masks to try and keep, you know, the bronchitis and pneumonia at bay. Everybody got sick without exception, every one of them, and nobody in the staff would do anything about it. They wouldn't clean up the dust. They wouldn't have the workers clean up the dust. Anyway, I went to the newspaper again.
I talked to Tatiana Flowers, the reporter. Some other people from the shelter also engaged her in a conversation. And I provided her photographs that I had taken of the dust, because she told me, we cannot write this article because nobody's going to believe you without proof, which stinks right there. You know, you just constantly have to prove that you're telling the truth. So I took the photographs. I was caught taking the photographs. Number one rule of the shelter, you don't take photographs. Well, I took them. I took the photographs. I was caught and I was discharged the next day because I was taking photographs. The woman that discharged me told me that, you know, they have a policy that you can't take photographs because, you know, they're trying to keep everyone's privacy, which is not true, because they bring in people all the time to take photographs during fundraising events or when they give tours to potential donors. There's no interest at all in our privacy when it suits them. Anyway, they kicked me out, and I bounced okay. for about a month between places. Go ahead. Mm.
Wow.
Yeah,
and so
but it was worth
if,
it.
If you, yes, it was. And like I said, like the song goes, you be proud of you, because everybody doesn't have the guts or the balls to stand up for what is right, regardless of the
mm-hmm.
fact. You know, even when you're working with children, you become a mandated reporter. And whether mm-hmm. you want to or not, you're going to have to stand up for somebody's rights if you suspect abuse. And so when taking care of yourself, and, you know, I guess they figure if you're homeless, you should be grateful and glad of whatever treatment that you're supposed to receive. So this is the way it sounds to me. But we all know that that's not true, because people have human rights and civil rights. And, you know, you're supposed to get better being in a situation like that and not mm-hmm. worse. And
yeah.
so I commend you for doing what you thought was right. You know, and moving forward in that, and you still received the blessing and was able to move out into your own place. And if you want to call in at another time, another show, I could definitely try to set that up, but I know we're running out of time because my other caller has called
yeah.
in, and I do not want to slight her. I apologize for my phone dropping, which never hardly happens. Over 100.
Finally, it's you this time and not me. It's always my phone. It always happens with my phone. Yeah, it's
well,
your phone.
Your phone? It's your phone and my phone.
Okay, fine.
But
I love you,
girl,
yeah.
and you keep your head up. You know,
yep.
you did nothing wrong in standing up for what you believe to be right and what you believe to be just. And so do not feel bad about that ever. You didn't harm anyone in the process of it, and you was only doing what you thought to be right. Within reason of trying to get things rectified. And so you continue to do what you need to do, and I definitely will keep in touch with you and see how you're doing, and I know you will do likewise. And may God continue to bless you and everything that you're about to embark on.
Thanks, Cherie. Okay, now I'm going to listen to the rest of your show now.
Okay.
All right, sweetheart.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, everybody out there. I love you. Okay, baby. Bye, baby.
Bye-bye. There you have it. That was Mary Brill of Westport. You're listening to Talk to Me Radio. This is Cherie Humphrey. We're talking about standing up for your rights. And in doing that, you may rub some people wrong. They may consider you a whistleblower, or they may want to retaliate, whether physically, psychologically, or emotionally. Regardless of the fact, it's all wrong. So if they can live with themselves, they will have to answer to one person who is the ultimate judge, and that is God himself. And so if you want to go up against him, go ahead, do your thing, boo. Do what you got to do. But all I know is that at the end of the day, you want to go home with a clear conscience after trying to work in a situation where you're supposed to be helping someone and making people's lives better, pushing them to the next level to be a better person, pushing them, being able to be a listening ear, compassionate, sympathetic, empathetic, whatever you want to say. You know, those are the type of people that really supposed to be in these type of jobs, because I know it is not easy handling that. It's not easy working with people, period, especially with people who have issues that are you maybe a little bit more increased than the average person. I don't know. But at the same token, I would hope that people would want to do what is right. And so I am going to go to a very short break. I do want you to go to my website to get my books, order from me, call me up, text me, email me. Go to my website, DITR, findingthespiritinme.org/books. And I am going to play a little bit of What's Going On by Marvin Gaye.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Yes, what's going on? Well, this is Stand Up For Your Rights episode. I am going to plug my caller in. This is one of my good personal friends, author M.L. Brooks, and here she is right now. Hello?
Hello. Hi, everybody. Hi, Cherie Humphrey. Thank you so much for having me on the show. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Yes, no doubt.
Okay.
No doubt. If the call drops, just call back in. You know how it goes. Michelle, M.L. Brooks, is an author. She's an event producer. She was formerly on Weeby 108 for several years. She supported me in some of my events and, you know, helping out in different ways. And, you know, we just supported each other. And, you know, over the years, you know, she survived a lot of things. You know, she is a survivor in every aspect of the word. So we have a lot in common. And she's still doing her events. In fact, she just gave the Bridgeport Community Festival, which we'll be getting into. But first, I want to ask you, M.L. Brooks, what is on your heart today? You know, I know, you know, education is very important to you, but I know there's something more pressing that you wanted to discuss on today in standing up for your rights.
Well, with the song that you played by Marvin Gaye was very fitting, What's Going On. So I would ask the country and everybody out there to see what's going on with the state of our country with immigration and immigration rights. This country is built on a diversity and built on people who came from all over the world make a better life for themselves in this country. And we are having a test now with the president that we have currently in office from immigration authorities, which is ICE. ICE, which is the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, has done a lot of raids around the country and rounded up immigrants from Mississippi to all over the United States, and hundreds of people have their lives have been changed and affected, and hundreds of people who have been living in this country for years and just came here peacefully for wanting a better life.
Right.
In the beginning, when this country first came together, Europeans settled here in 1492. And they settled, wanted to come here for a better life from Europe. And this is the same thing that these people are asking for. And Mr. Trump said that there's rapists, there's murderers, there's people robbing. You know, he's degraded and disintegrated so many immigrants, from Muslims to Africans, to Hispanics, all across the board. And this is something that we are tackling now in our society. And also the religious community is now has to tackle this as well.
Right,
so,
right.
Yes. So I believe that, you know, there's sanctuary cities, there's sanctuary locations, in and around the country now. The church in itself has started to become more vocal in helping immigrant refugees, from evangelicals to Lutherans to UCC organizations, all different groups of people are banding together. Just recently, the Evangelical Lutheran Church declared its first sanctuary body, which means it is now within the church itself, and that group organization itself declared themselves the first sanctuary body or group of religious faith that was that will be helping refugees.
Okay.
And
it's
very
sad that what is going on. I heard the story like everyone else when the father was trying to come back into the country, or come into the country, period, and he was gunned down, and the baby, you know, was a part of that scenario. And a lot has been going on, I'm sure, that's not even put on the news. I just don't think it's right if someone was born in this country, especially, if they leave, they should be allowed to come back in, unless they have some other reason, you know, as far as terrorism or something that they're doing. But if you're on vacation, you're out visiting relatives from another country, I think that's crazy that you're not allowed back in this country. And even people who are coming over here, I mean, because when you think about it, we're all foreigners. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's a foreigner. The only people who weren't foreigners were people who were born and bred in this country from the beginning of time, and that were already here, and before the Europeans came, and before they brought over.
Yeah, that's the American Indians, yes. That's
exactly.
The Native American Indians.
Yes, yes. And so I don't know a policy and too much on it. I didn't research it because we were going to go into a different topic, but go ahead, continue to shed some light on some of the things that's been taking place in regards to that that's been happening.
Well, there was a man that was deported to Iran, and he came to this country as a young boy. His parents brought him to this country, so he basically did not know anything about Iran. And they deported him back to the country because he was not born here. I believe he was 7 years old when he came over to this country. So he basically had most of his life in this country. And they deported him back to that country, to Iran. And once he pleaded with them for him not to go back because he didn't know the lifestyle. He didn't know anything about, you know, that country. And they kept him. He also had a medical condition where he needed his insulin, and he was not given his insulin. So within a couple of days that he stayed in Iran, he died because they didn't give him any type of medical treatment, and they deported him back as if he was just an animal. And this is happening to so many people around the country, you know, being split up
right.
by their families, their children, split up. Months ago, there was stories of thousands of children being kept in cages and not being fed and not, you know, being kept in cages and sleeping on the floor, in tin foil, and just not being treated medically and all these different type of things. So these deportation locations that they put people in as, you know, like houses for them before they are deported back to their country or before they are seen by the courts, they're not treating them adequately with any type of humane standards. So it's really, really, really sad and unfortunate.
It's like a fourth world country, not even a third world, a fourth world country.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Because, you know, you're originally from Jamaica. And I visited Jamaica before. I've visited Mexico. I've been in Uganda. I've seen some really sick stuff. I've seen some sick shit, if you want to put it in any other words, that no one should have to deal or live the way some of the conditions that I've seen people living in. And, you know, when you're talking about Africa and you're seeing little kids walking around with sores and boils around their eyes and lips, you know, and they're out there fending for themselves at 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years old and no adults around because they've died from AIDS, you know, millions of people, you know, wouldn't you want to get out of that country? Wouldn't you
exactly.
want to escape
yes.
that type of travesty?
Yes.
Unbelievable. I mean, you know,
exactly.
ML Brooks, I have seen... Even in Jamaica, you know, and I was young in my 20s, and I was like, wow, I couldn't believe it. You know, there was a naked man
yeah.
washing up in the same stream that he was washing his car in.
Yeah.
You know.
A lot of poverty. I know now Jamaica has been a lot more modernized, but years back it has, you know, it had a lot of different things where it needed to become more modernized, but it has. Change, and there's still changes going on in these other countries as well, but there's like Guatemalan countries, Mexico, where there's a lot of violence and there's a lot of persecution by people who try to fight against the government. So therefore, those people are just looking for a better way of life, as simply as that. They're just looking for to be able to survive, and to coming to this country, they feel that they'll have a better opportunity than where
right.
they are at. And who wouldn't want a better opportunity? I mean, the settlers came here for a better way of life and
right.
and
right.
came and do not, and, you know, Europeans, I would say, that don't consider themselves, you know, removed from the immigrant status. But as you said earlier, we are all descendants from somewhere. We are all
right.
immigrated from somewhere. So we should have sympathy towards other people who wanted the same as well.
That's right.
And
now, I was, you know, Michelle, ML Brooks, sorry, I'm so used to it. But, I mean, when I was over there, I mean, I'm just like, this is not my home. I mean, they don't even consider mm-hmm. us relatives because they
yeah.
look at us as Westerners, you know, privileged, spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
We're so
yeah.
entitled or used to things. We, you know, we take for granted water. You know, we take
mm-hmm.
for granted having, you know, two or three meals a day when people are trying to scrounge up to have one.
Yes.
You know, and we take for granted clothes.
Take a shower. Yes.
Yes, take a shower, clothes on our behind. And we, you know, and it's almost like, okay, do we forget, you know what I'm saying? Do we forget where our people come from? There's no reason in the world Mary should have went through some of the things she went through at a shelter. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know what I'm saying? Because people out here are trying to survive, everybody. And most people are one paycheck away from being homeless and themselves. So let's tell the
exactly.
truth about it. There's a
exactly.
lot of people that's been that's unemployed, got degrees, unemployed. You know what I mean? So, you know, how dare you put your foot on somebody's neck so they can't get up? You know,
yeah,
girl, go ahead, talk. Because, you know, I'm gonna get heated.
to the point that you're saying that people, you know, people are trying to survive, there is a Trump immigration official. His name is Ken Cusinelli. As late as today's news, he wants to change the quote that's on the Statue of Liberty. You know, where they say, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning," and they talk about, you know, it talks about homelessness also as well. He wants to change it to give me your tired, your poor that can stand on their own two feet. Now that's a code. That's code talking. That's code
right.
talking. Where at stand on your own two feet, so you are not going to be willing to accept people who need help, for anything. I mean, even currently
right.
now, they're changing the status of food stamps and all different kind of things for immigrants to not be allowed to have any type of assistance, housing assistance. And that will go down to regular poor people as well, because they
yes,
really
will.
Don't believe in poor people getting anything to be able to survive. They believe in
right.
everyone standing on their own. So how can you stand on your own two feet if you're not helped onto your feet?
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't know how. You know. So this is what's happening currently right now, and through the pipes, it's Trump administration slowly pulling things in that will affect not just immigrants, but will affect the economy and will affect the United States as itself. As you know, it will affect our freedom. I mean, wanting to
right.
change the Statue of Liberty, what it stands for, and what the wording of it is—that's unfathomable. That's not
yes,
what
it is.
For centuries. That was written.
And I gotta stop you right there. I gotta stop you right
mm-hmm.
there because we got about 60 seconds left. Everything that you're saying is very pertinent and it's important. And you're making, you know, a lot of sense. And, you know, I'm sure people
mm-hmm.
can understand and relate. You know, maybe some people who privilege can't. But
right.
I want to thank you so much for being patient, Emma Brooks, coming on, sharing that with us, because there's somebody out there that, you know, I may not have known that. So if there's a last
yeah.
quick sentence or a quick word you want to give to inspire somebody really quickly.
Well, absolutely. Just keep on trying and keep on striving to do better, and the sky is the limit. The sky is the
yes.
limit.
All right now. Well, I will be seeing you soon for the festival, God willing, and you have a good night, and I will definitely be talking to you very soon.
Okay, dear. All right. You take care. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye. There you have it. That was ML Brooks. We finished streaming, but she does the Bridgeport Community Festival every year. She's done stuff for education, Black history, you name it. So that's a good person to connect with if you're a vendor, as far as like wanting to put your name out there, things of that nature. And was awarded by Mayor Ganim on last year for her efforts in community service. So I do want to thank her and give her a shout out. And I do want to leave with saying, God has his hands on you. There's nothing under the sun that is new. I've been told all my life. And so there's nothing that God does not see. And he sees our hearts. He knows who we are. He knows who we will be. And so, like she said, just keep striving to do better and be encouraged. And just know, your child of God, that God has his hands on you. And so I'm going to take this show out with Marvin Sapp. His hand is on you. Until later, and I will talk to you soon.
A lot of us in this house tonight, we're on the potter's wheel right now. And it's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good. But we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just touch somebody, look them in the face, and tell them I'm in his hands. He has his so you can